Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today and in your homes and online. My name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at True North, and so good to have you here. And thanks, Becca Shea, for coming and gracing us with your music and your presence. So good to have you here. We're in a new series this week called, we launched it this week called My Orbit. And you're gonna laugh because I almost named this series Beyond These Walls, which today we're doing Church Beyond the Walls of this church. And so it's almost a prophetic word. But My Orbit, really, we're talking about, that's a language we've used around here at True North, is that we all have an orbit. We have a sphere of influence. And that word orbit we talk about means our bed. That's our family or the people we live with, our sphere of influence that of those related to. Or if you're single, your roommate or whatnot, who are the people that live in the home you call, your place you call home? Your orbit, your bed, your buck, that's where you spend your dollar or earn your dollar. And so who are the people that you that are around you where you spend your money or earn your money? Those you work with, those you shop around. And lastly, your burden, that's your passion, the relational influence. And you know, God said to be fishers of men, and fish swim in rivers. They swim in pools, lakes. They swim in ponds, things like that. When I say your burden, where are the passions that lead you to? Your stream that you could fish in or build relationships with could be soccer. It could be music. It could be the hobbies or the skiing or the music. Or what are the streams of influence where your passions lead you to? And that's what we mean by your burden. And at True North, we always say something. We always say this. And if you're at home and you've heard me say it before, you finish it. We'll do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Jesus. Right. We'll do what no one's doing to reach what? People no one's reaching. That's why a year ago we started live streaming into correctional facilities on Easter. And the last 7 weeks, I've been watching it. The last 7 weeks, except for the week I was on vacation, I've met at least one person that came to me and said, Mark, Pastor, it's good to see you live. I've been watching you on the live stream since in the correctional facility. I've met someone the last 7 weeks that told me they met Jesus or they met our church online. Why? Because we'll do what no one's doing. And so as we launch into this series, I want to start by going to the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. It says this, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And the author says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. We all have a calling. In fact, there's two things we have. Many of us have what we call a vocation. And some of you right now, you get a longer spring break. There's others out there that are going, and I think there's some people out there that are happy there's a longer spring break. There's probably educators or parents going, who in the world's going to take care of my kids this week when I need to go back to work. There's other crises and things going on like that. There's a vocation, that's what I do for a living, but there's something called an avocation, and that's my call. That's what do I do to be on mission. Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. In other words, to win in what? For which God's called me to do. And so when I talk about my orbit, we're talking about how do we live missional lives? How do we live a life in such a way that our sphere of influence is impacted for Jesus? Now, before I even talk about what that looks like, I want to talk about those in your orbit. What do people around you that don't know Jesus? What are some, and I want to talk about maybe the three biggest questions that people have about life. Because, you know, if you know Christ and you've been in church for a while, you kind of feel like you got some traction or things are going, but there are people out there in your sphere of influence, in your orbit, that have no traction. And there's three questions they're probably asking that I think, in fact, I think humanity's asked since creation. Number one, the first question they ask is, why am I here? Why am I here? This is the question of existence. Everyone asks this. In fact, Jeremiah asked this question. Jeremiah, even a prophet, says this. Why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow to end my life in disgrace? In other words, he's asking this question. Why was I here for trouble? Maybe you walked through divorce this last year. You're walking through addiction, or you're walking through identity issues and gender, all the different issues and questions. And you're going, why am I here? Why? It's a question of existence. It's a driving question. And so when you're in your orbit, understand there are people that don't even know why they exist yet. The second question of life is, does my life matter? That's the question of significance. Does my life matter? Would it matter if I wasn't here? Would anyone notice me if I wasn't here? Does my life make a significance? James says it this way. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while, it's gone next. And I think, well, thanks, James, for your encouragement. Life's a vapor. It's here one moment. I think of a gentleman in our church, and I'll use the name Jim. That's not his name. I didn't have a chance to ask him to share the story. But Jim one day came to church, and his friend invited him to church. And Jim made a commitment to serve Jesus that day. I remember I looked over. He's sitting off to my right, and he's with his girlfriend. And I give a salvation altar call, and he raises his hand, and he picks up his girlfriend's hand too. And we were preaching a series that week called You Matter to God. And we have these little cards, You Matter to God, and so therefore you matter to True North Church, and we'll do anything short of sin to reach people. And Jim picked up some of those cards, and Jim was on his sidewalk walking one day. It was in the spring, and he heard someone talking to his mom on the phone. Mom, I don't matter to anybody but you. I got out of jail, I can't get a job, and he's talking about how life is just miserable, and he said, I don't matter to anybody. And there's Jim on the street going, I got a card that says you matter to God. He looks up and finds kind of where he is in the apartment, and he starts knocking on doors until he finds Jeremy's apartment, who had been talking to his mom. Introduces himself and says, excuse me, but you do matter to someone. His name is God. You matter to God. And that Sunday, Jim brought his friend Jeremy to church, and we had prayer time like we often do, and it was prayer time. You know, if you have a need, come. And so this man, young man, Jim, picked up his friend Jeremy, says, come here, you need, and he pushes him in front of our youth pastor and says, you need, this guy needs a lot of prayer. And Derek, who's our youth pastor at the time, begins to pray for this guy and prays for him. And that day, at the end of gathering, guess who raised their hand for salvation? Jeremy did. Because, you know, there's people out there that question if life is significant, if life is valid, life is worth living. But really what that question is, does life matter? And the question is, yes, life does matter. And everyone in your orbit, there's people asking themselves right now. That's why we have suicide rampant in Alaska. That's why we have affairs. That's why people have affairs, addiction problems, because they're trying to figure out if life is worth living. The third question people ask is, what's my purpose? That's the question of intention. What was God thinking when he made me? What was his intent? Isaiah struggled with this, and he says, work is all seems useless. My work all seems useless. I've spent my strength for nothing and to no purpose at all. And how many want to know, life without purpose is no fun to live. And why am I even saying this? Because we kind of, you know, if we're in the church community, a Christian community, we got Christian friends, we got things, but there are people out there in your orbit that don't think like their life matters. They don't think they have intent. But how many know if God designed you and knit you together in your mother's womb, there's intent. But if you're far from God and don't know that intent, you can live life feeling like life is not worth living. There's no purpose to it, which is why we have the challenges in our culture we have. But God, here's the thing. When the created asks the created for why they are alive, that doesn't work. If you're watching online, I've heard people say, well, I just got to take a break right now and take a break from church and a break from God and a break from my life group because I'm trying to find myself. Can I tell you, that's a red flag because you can't find yourself because the created can't ask the created why they exist. You have to ask the creator God why you exist. You have to go to the Creator God, and God answers the question, why am I here, and does my life matter, and what is my purpose? And in fact, in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and what? A future. God has plans. He has an intent. He has a purpose. The question is not whether God has a purpose for your orbit or for your life. The question is whether or not you'll accept his purpose for the orbit in your life. God has a plan. It's not whether he has a plan. It's whether you'll step in to live and become all that God created you to become. So I want to answer the question, why am I here? From God's perspective, why am I here? I was created to be loved by God and to love others. It's a purpose. Ephesians says, long before he laid the foundations of the world, he had us in mind. Before God spoke the world into existence and there was chaos, we were in the back of his mind. Here's what blows my mind. We were in the back of his mind. God knew everything about us, and God still created the world and loved us. Long before he laid the foundations, he had us in mind, and he settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Why did God create us? He created us from the foundations. Why? And it settled. We are the focus of his love. Why? To be made whole and holy. In other words, if you're out there and you're not whole and you're listening to this live stream right now and you're in a place where your life is broken, let me tell you something. The world sees something broken, they throw it away. God sees something broken, he goes, oh, I came to make you whole. You don't have to say that way anymore, and I came to make you holy. In other words, there's nothing any of us can do to separate us from the love of God. God loves us. He created the world and he had us in mind. Why? Why are you here? Because he created you to love you. And secondly, he created you to love others. That's why it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, that's one of the hardest decisions I've ever made in my life, is when the board and the pastoral staff met and said, man, should we follow suit with what the governor's encouraging us, not telling us to do? It's a choice on our end. The schools have shut down, all those things. And like, it's like, well, we asked ourselves, we're not doing it because we want to be safe. We're doing it because we want to be wise. And that's it. What does a good neighbor look like? What does a city church look like? A city church looks like a church that's concerned about the welfare of the city. And so if you're watching live right now, I sure hope you share this with everyone and you go back onto Facebook later on and share the next gathering, the next hour that we have. And we're going to show all five will be live stream. I hope you share. Why? Because you can have a chance to influence your orbit today while you watch this online at home. Why? Because but God came and the purpose was to what? For you to be loved and for you to love others. Secondly, the question, does my life matter? God answers, and he says it this way. We were made special by God and for eternity. Now, some of you heard me say this before. Maybe you're watching me for the first time. There was a day you didn't exist. But there'll never be a day now you don't exist. The moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, at conception, you became a human baby. And at conception, at that moment you were conceived, you became an eternal being. There was a day you did not exist, but from now on, you will always, you're eternal. In fact, the Bible says it this way, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God, you're special. God has a plan. And what does that mean? It means God has a plan for everyone in your orbit. The person at work that irritates you, that porcupine person, the person with a lot of fine points but hard to hug, that person that just burrs your fur, that person that no one looks at. You'll hear us start talking about, we're studying the lepers in our community right now. We're studying the pockets of people in our community that no one wants to touch. And we're looking at that. Who are the lepers around you that God made you special and God made you for eternity. Who are those pockets? God has created everyone with a special purpose and he set them apart. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, it says this, for we know that when this earthly tent that we live in is taken down and we die and leave these bodies. How many of you guys are excited about that? Yeah. That this is not as good as it gets. It gets a whole lot better. I mean, because the Bible says this, that we'll leave these bodies and we'll have home in heaven and an eternal body made for us by God, not by human hands. How many of you guys are excited about that day that God is going to put you in a new body? Yeah. Now, some of you, that should excite some of you. Excites me. But we are made special by God and we are made for eternity. In other words, God has designed us for eternal. In other words, what does that mean? It means this, and we've said it all the time at True North. If you're watching for the first time, we always say this, that if you leave True North and forget who we are, you've lost nothing. But if you forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. Why? Because you're eternal beings, and God has designed you to be in heaven someday. If you're outside of a relationship with him, and so in your orbit, think about this, in your orbit, there are people designed for eternity that don't realize they'll spend eternity separated from God if we don't influence our orbit. We're formed by God to live an eternal purpose by God. And the life we live right here is this earthly tent. It's just a moment. It's a pause in history. It's a dash. Think about it. Life's that dash. You have a birth date, you have a dash, and you have your end date, the expiration date, and then you start eternity. What are you doing with your dash right now? I think about how special we are to God, how we matter to God. I think about, how many of you guys ever remember reading the book? Maybe they don't read it in schools anymore, but when I was a kid, we had to read Where the Red Ferns Grows. You guys remember reading Where the Red Fern Grows? And Billy wanted to raise money to buy some coon dogs. Remember the story? And do you guys remember how he did it? He bore a hole in logs, and he would take nails. And I would call them 16-penny nails, but who knows what kind of nails they were. And he would take a shiny tin can, lid of a tin can, and put it in the bottom of the hole. And then he'd drive nails in at an angle, so when the coon would reach his hand into the hole, the coon could get his hand past the nails and leverage past the nails. But when the coon grabbed the shiny object that was valuable to him and grabbed a hold of it, his hand was big enough now he couldn't pull it past the nails, and Billy would go and he would trap that coon, and after enough coons, he had enough money, after enough skins, to buy a dog he wanted. And I think about that. You know how valuable your friends are and you are to God? You're the shiny object on the other side of the nails that Jesus grabbed a hold of like that raccoon, but Jesus grabbed a hold of you and held on through the nails and said, and our city, think about it. Who are the people in your orbit that right now, they're eternal beings, and there's heaven and there's a place called hell. And outside of a relationship with Jesus, hell's the option if they don't have heaven in them. Valuable, and there's eternal purpose for you. And thirdly, what's my purpose? I find my purpose in knowing and serving God. The reality is for people in your orbit, they will never find purpose in a relationship. They'll never find purpose in sex. They'll never find purpose in money. They'll never find purpose in a house or a car or a bride or a spouse or a husband or a drug or a bottle. You don't find purpose outside of God. In Colossians, it says, for everything, absolutely everything. And I looked up that word everything. It means everything. Everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got its start. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. People only find purpose in Jesus. What are the people in your orbit chasing? I'll tell you right now, they're chasing false things if they're not chasing Jesus. Jesus is the only one that gives them purpose. And our purpose is we only find it when we serve him, but we only find it, excuse me, when we know him and we find our purpose in serving other people. It says in Christ, that it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for in Ephesians. Long before he first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had designs on us for glorious living. In other words, he designed us for ways. And he designed us, I believe, to serve God. And as we serve God, we can serve other people. He designed us to serve him. That's why we love Grow Track here at True North. And that's why part of Grow Track is finding out what your spiritual gifts are and how God wired you and how God designed you. Because I truly believe if you're listening to this video right now, you will not find the purposes of God in your life if you don't know how God designed you and wired you and how you can use how he made you to serve him by serving other people. I believe that. In fact, you've heard me say all the time, if you sit in pews too long and don't serve, you get pewy. We're not a pewy church. We serve. Choosing a life to live greater than ourselves. So this whole idea of orbit is, how do we choose a life bigger than ourselves? If God can answer the biggest questions of life, the biggest questions of society, and the biggest questions of reality, then how, and we're designed by him, how do we live all that God wants us to be within our orbit? How do we become that? Three things I want to leave you with in this thought is, number one, we have to choose to seek out and submit to God's created purpose for my life. We have to seek out God's created purpose for your life. God has a purpose for you. God has designed you. God has wired you. God has put you together. In other words, whether you're a construction worker, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a teacher, no matter who you are, God has designed you to be what? He gave you a vocation, what you do, but a vocation is what you're called to become, to live a missional life. And so the question is not if you're a missionary. The question today is, how good of one are you? We're called to make a difference. We're created to impact our orbit. In Galatians, it says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I no longer live for myself, but now what do? I live this life by faith because God himself gave himself for me. In other words, how can you, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, make a difference in someone else's life? I've heard it said before like this. If God is Mr. Unforgettable, if you meet us, Mr. Unforgettable, your life should not be forgettable. Our lives should be unforgettable. We should, something about us that makes us different. And the second way we can make a difference in our orbit is, number two, I choose to serve others in the name of Christ in every aspect of my life. And Lucas says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, I choose to love people. And I'm going to have Pastor Josh come here and share a story. In our staff chapels every week, we have 10 God stories for the week. And Pastor Josh shared this story. And I want you to share about all pro dads at Hunter Elementary. Share with us what God's doing over there and about that young man.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a church, we're super passionate about reaching out to our community and making a difference. And one of the things that we say at True North is that when we see a need, we meet it. And so when I went over to Hunter Elementary and talked to the principal there and the staff and just said, hey, what are some of the things that you guys are needing? You know, she mentioned that there are a lot of boys that go to school there who don't have dads in their lives and don't have that male role model. And so we came up with doing All Pro Male, which is an opportunity for us to meet once a month with students third through sixth grade. We promoted it within our church. We've got a number of men who are using their gifts to be mentors or be a father figure in the lives of boys there. And so we've been doing it for a couple months now. And last Sunday, I had a True Norther come up to me in between gatherings. And she said, hey, I just wanted to thank you so much for what you're doing. She says, I'm a sixth grade teacher over at Hunter. And one of the boys in my class was really questioning whether he should go or not. You see, he's lost 2 dads in his life recently. And she said, I really encouraged him to go. And he came back after going to All Pro Male. And he had tears in his eyes and said, I just had the best time I've had in a really long time. Thank you for forcing me to go. Thank you for encouraging me to go. And so to hear that story, to know that just that one meeting, that one encounter had such a powerful impact in that boy's life. We don't know what that's going to do, but it's making a difference in his life. And it was helping him to know that he matters. He matters to us and he matters to God. So
come on. Thanks, Josh. Thanks for going. That's awesome. You know, if we want to impact our orbit, We have to serve others in the name of Christ in every aspect of our life. How can we use, again, our bed, our buck, and our burden? The people, our family, how do we serve those around us? And I've often said it this way. We don't want to do this so people become converts. That's not our reason. We do it because we care. Whether or not they ever become a Christ follower, although we sure pray they do, but we do it because we're called to serve. Love the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul and love and with all your strength and love your neighbor as yourself. I want to challenge you the next several weeks. Easter is in 5 weeks or 4 weeks away. Start thinking about who can you start serving? Where can you impact? Who can you speak life into? The last way we can impact our orbit is choose to share Christ with my orbit as God leads me here and around the world. Begin to share Christ. And I forget who said it. They said this. Be a witness for Christ and use words if you have to. Be a witness for Christ and use words. Sharing Christ doesn't always mean verbally, although I do believe there'll come a time where you verbalize your faith. But it means you live your faith in Christ over and over. And in Colossians, it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. So be wise in how you act. In other words, there's actions that are important. And make every most of every, and let your conversation, in other words, witnessing deals with actions and deals with words. And sometimes I think, what does someone say? Your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you say. Actions what? Speak twice as loud as words. So if we're going to share Christ with your orbit, then let's live a life. Jesus came, we read it earlier, to make us what? Whole and holy. And when we do that, I believe we can make a difference in our orbit. And I want you to pray with me for a second. I want you to begin to pray for, over the next 4 weeks, begin to pray for who are the people that you can begin to serve. Think about it. Who are five people in your orbit? They could be people you work with. They could be people who live in your apartment complex near you, your neighborhood. Who could you begin to serve? Our neighbor's a single mom, and they like moose, and my wife is still trying to get to like moose. And so every several months we'll go over there and we'll leave a box outside her house. We know about when she comes home from work, and we leave a box of moose there for her. We're serving her. Hasn't walked to our church yet. She's Catholic. That's okay. But we believe that she's going to come to know Jesus as her personal Savior, not based upon religion, but based upon relationship as we serve her. And there'll come an opportunity for us to share Christ with her one day, but with your actions and with your conversations. And so, ask the Lord, who are five people I can share Christ with this year? Start thinking about it. Start praying about it. Why don't we make a hit list? And let's be mafia. Males and females influencing our communities. I was a youth pastor. It's mafia. Males and females influencing adolescents. It doesn't work right here, does it? Yeah. Influencing our community. I want to pray with you right now. In fact, bow your heads right where you're in your homes, where you're at. Lord, I pray a blessing over everyone that's watching online today. Help us impact our orbit. God, there's the Jeremys, that the Jims of this world brought the church to say, you matter to God, therefore you matter to me. There's people around us, God, help us to impact those people. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're watching online today, you heard me say it earlier, if you turn off this live stream today and you forget who we are, you haven't lost a whole lot. But if you turn off this live stream today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity today to meet the Jesus I just talked about that created you with a purpose and a value and a meaning and can answer the question why you're here and what's the intent, what's the significance of life. Life revolves around him so our lives can then revolve around him to touch other people. And so if you're here watching online and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you died today, you do not know for sure you go to heaven. We always say to True North, it's as easy as ABC to know about heaven. A, admit you've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A, admit you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So believe. Starts by believing in Jesus and confess him as Lord. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. Not saved from taxes on April 15th. Not saved for the coronavirus scare. Saved from what? Our sin that separates us from Jesus. So wherever you're at, in a home or in a car or watching something at a cafe right now, I want to bow your head. I just want you to close your eyes. And if you're here watching and you've never made Jesus your Lord of your life, I want to ask you to pray with me. Dear Jesus, just pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. But I believe you sent your only son named Jesus to make me whole and to make me holy. And he can do that because he died on the cross for my sins. So please forgive me for my sins today. I admit I've sinned. Please forgive me. Please be my Savior. And today I confess you as the Lord of my life. Help me serve you the rest of my life. I make you my life leader today, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.